Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Today, we are continuing our series, Letters to the Church. And so, last week we were in Galatians. The week before that, we were in Revelation. Martino shared about the seven letters to the churches. And today, we are in the book of Ephesians, which is another letter of Paul's that he wrote, and I'm gonna highlight a few things from this book because I couldn't pick one. So I'm sorry that I'm doing it like this because I think that probably I just can't help myself. I like to just highlight multiple verses here. Okay, so we're gonna be in the book of Ephesians, and I'm gonna move you around just a little bit. Ephesians is, I don't know, I think I preach from Ephesians a lot. I use Ephesians references on a regular basis. This is like core stuff for a person that believes in Jesus. It's core stuff. I think that sometimes we can take core things for granted. So it's good to read over it and remind ourselves of these truths because I think we can forget very easily. And this is how we should live, okay? So the first section is Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, all right? And that is our identity in Christ, all right? So everybody say identity. All right. This is about your identity in Christ. Who am I in Christ? All right. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Say chose. Chose. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. This is a theme, unity. Right? Unity has been a theme for us lately. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Wow, that's a lot of words, but that's saying a lot of truth about who we are in Christ. All right, so it says, chosen and predestined before the foundation of the world. It was like it was already decided God was going to adopt you. You were going to be a part of his family. And I mean, I've heard a lot of people say this, you know, sometimes when a child gets adopted, they can feel, oh, are they less important than like, say, the biological children? And every time I always hear the parents say, oh, but I chose you. I picked you out by hand. I saw you and I said, that one. I want that one. And like, how special must that feel to be chosen like that? And that's what we have with God, the creator of the universe, that he picked you out of the crowd and he said, I choose you. I love you. I have purpose all over your life. Like, that's an amazing thing. And that is what God has done for us. I've talked about it before. Like, I love my wedding ring because it reminds me that Matt chose me. Like, he picked me. He said, I want you to be my wife. Now, of course, I had to also choose him, but he chose me. And it's really special to get picked. And has anybody ever been, well, probably just me, like on the playground or at sports and they're picking teams and you're the last one chosen? That is me. I don't think they ever actually choose me. I think they just take me because I'm the leftover athlete. Because I'm not even an athlete. I'm like, you know, the shortest, the slowest, all the things, right? But when you get chosen, I've had moments where people have chosen me first for their team for no good reason. I don't know why. But, you know, they choose me and I go, this feels amazing. Like, it feels so good to be picked. And so that's who we are in Christ. This gives us a sense of belonging and purpose, that you know that you were picked. I always think about basketball and football, how they do those drafts, you know, and the first round draft pick, the first pick of the first round for basketball. Like, that's a crazy big deal. Like, these guys, this goes with them forever, their identity of when they got chosen like that. And I think that we should always remember when we got chosen by God. That's really special. If you don't remember when that was, let's think back. Think back to when God chose you and you got set apart. That's a really important moment. We are redeemed and forgiven. That redemption of Christ's blood, like, that's something that we cannot forget as our core identity, that it's not what we did, it's what he did. And we're going to take communion together in a little while. Because that's really important, the grace and the love of God that brings us salvation. That's our identity. Our identity is not, I'm a perfect, wonderful person that always does things right all the time. It is, I am a person who has received redemption because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his blood that he gave for me, his grace, his love, and then sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have our inheritance as believers in Christ. All right. Ephesians 2:11. One in Christ. This was the other thing that I keep saying. It's unity. 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 You are all one in Christ. And in this world that's so determined to divide us, you know, the heart of God is that I believe believers would be united. That I'm not against us being a part of a denomination. I think organizations help us have accountability and structure and consistency. So I'm not against that. But I don't think that God's design was really for us to be in little cliques. I believe he kind of was like, no, you're all my children. You believe in the sacrifice of my son and the forgiveness of your sins through faith in Christ. And so we should be looking at each other as brothers and sisters. Like, I don't consider us in any way in competition with other churches that are down the street or anything like that. And we're friends. We're trying to be even better friends with the pastors in San Bruno because we believe that we are all doing the same thing. We are telling people about the love and the grace of Jesus, and we're trying to enter into healing and wholeness. Focusing more on what unites us than what divides us. Think about that. When you start a conversation with somebody, you usually start with what's similar. You know, what do we have in common? Oh, you like to vacation at Yosemite and go hiking? So do I. Oh, you like, you know, to get new shoes? Oh, so do I. Or whatever it is, you know, like, we look for what we have in common with people. And so I think that we can do that in the body of Christ a little bit better. I think that our church is doing an amazing job at it, but I'm going to remind you, it's a core value of ours that we focus on what unites us, and that we're also okay with being a little different, right? Because unity does not mean uniformity. It doesn't mean you all have to have, we don't have to all have the same haircut. You know what I mean? Like that, just because I like your haircut doesn't mean that my haircut's not good. You know what I mean? Like we can have different haircuts and still be equally valuable in God's eyes. And if we could shift our mindset to see it that way, that it's not one is better than the other, they're different. Different expressions. God would not have been so creative. He made so many different types of trees, so many different types of flowers, so many different types of people. That's on purpose. That's his design. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. So, enough about what I have to say about it. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated, separated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. It's you're built, being built together in unity and in oneness. And this is the heart of God. So he's describing specifically Jews and Gentiles, right? And there was this dividing wall, even like, in the temple, right? It would be like, Gentiles can't cross this line. No, you can't go there, you know? And it was like Jesus, what he did with his sacrifice of his life on the cross, he tore down that barrier wall, that dividing wall, and said, now, Gentiles, you have full access to the Lord, to the temple, to everything of God. You're no longer separated. And that is a really important thing for us to remember, because again, that's the picture of God's heart. And so when we see ourselves, you know, feeling division from people, we can be reminded, oh wait, the heart of the Father is for oneness. Not one is better than the other, different, but equally valuable. And you can think about it like if you think of your parents or you think of children, well, some parents do have favorites, that's true. But a lot of parents would say that there's not one child that they love more than the other. They love them both, or all five of them, or 10 of them. Even I see families with tons of kids, and they just love all of them. And that is the heart of God. And yes, they can see that these kids are different, but they love them all. And that's how God is with us. And his desire is that we would all get along, right? And that we would all come to Thanksgiving together instead of having to go visit different homes, right? So there's this thing. God wants unity. He's all about peace and reconciliation. Jesus reconciled us to God, and he desires to reconcile us with one another. So there's two things that are going on there. He's breaking down barriers. And so this is, I think, a really important one whenever you think about what is the heart of God. And how should I be toward people? And think about the same grace that God has shown toward you to try to show that to other people. Because that's where we struggle. Sometimes we forget how much God has shown us grace. And then it makes it hard for us to extend that same grace to other people. And we remember that they have the same access to God that we do. And that all that same inheritance, the riches of God's grace, that's available to everyone. Ephesians, I'm going to just do, just going to do one last one, actually. Oh, there's so many that I love, but I'm going to bring us to the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. That's Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Put on the armor of God. You need the equipment for the thing that you're doing. Otherwise, it doesn't go well. And it's very prideful to assume that we can do it without the armor. And I think sometimes we think of the armor of God as like something for really aggressive Christians or really spiritual people. Because it sounds like a lot. The shoes and the helmet and the, you know, it sounds a bit much to me, if I'm being honest. But I'm coaching soccer for the girls right now. And, you know, they say you're supposed to put on shin guards and you're supposed to put on soccer cleats. You're supposed to have your soccer ball. Well, I decided to play with these girls that are bigger than me. You know, they're on my team, but they're little girls that are bigger than me, you know. And I decided to play without shin guards on. And one of them came up close and kicked a soccer ball super hard right at my shin. And it ended up all bruised. Kind of unnecessary, right? I didn't really need that to happen. Probably if I had worn the right equipment, it wouldn't have happened at all, right? Not at all. So the right equipment really just sets you up to be really successful and to thrive. And so what is God saying that we need here? The armor of God. Okay, let's not even think about the shoes and the belt and all that. It says righteousness. Righteousness will protect you. Righteousness will keep you safe. Righteousness is what you need. Peace, truth, faith, salvation. You need the word of God and you need to pray in the Spirit. You need the word of God. This will protect you. We talked about it last week, right? How important this is. To assume that we can handle life without this is very prideful. That's what that is. And that's what it was that made me be like, oh, I can play soccer with these girls and I won't get hurt at all, you know, because I'm older, I'm experienced, I know what I'm doing, whatever. I don't know what I thought. I really thought that I would not get hurt. Never crossed my mind. But it was kind of prideful because they are bigger than me and stronger than me and faster than me, you know. So it really isn't that surprising now that I look back on it. But it was pride. And I think that for us as believers, oh, you know, pride sounds big and ugly. But pride is just this thing that keeps us from being vulnerable with other people. And it keeps us from recognizing that we really need God every single day. We need his word, his truth. We really need it. And without it, we will react wrong. We will speak in ways that will hurt other people. We will be anxious. We will be confused. We will be overwhelmed. That's very normal. But there's something about God's word when I sit down and I read it that kind of recalibrates me, resets my mind, and it keeps me safe, and it protects me, and it allows me to go places and speak God's truth in kindness and love. It equips me. And it would be really, really presumptuous and prideful of me to expect to be able to go places and represent Jesus well without having the right equipment, right? You don't go to any other job without whatever the tools of the trade are. Everybody else, you know that. What do you need? You know, the school teachers, they get all their back to school supplies. And I know, construction people have drills and saws and all tape measures, and people have, if you're going to teach music, you've got, instruments and sheet music, and you've got the things for it. You come with stuff. You come prepared. And I think that maybe I would say sometimes pride and maybe sometimes just kind of being lazy can cause us to just, to just not step into our day with God's word. And we need it very, very much. We need it very, very much. And the world needs us to be the sort of people who are reading the Bible together and are connecting with one another so that we can be strong.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.